Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
Well, it sounds like right now they're circling a fogged-in airport, which happens in negotiations, but it's happening now with spring training allegedly on the horizon, which right now it's not. So how do you view where things are right now?
No, it's a great way you put it, Steve. Yeah, just kind of circling, and there's really has been much movement at all in 2 months. You know, and the players say, well, okay, we'll stay at free agency at 6 years. The owners say, okay, we're not going to blow up salary arbitration. Well, neither is going to happen anyway. So they've made so just inching toward thing. I think that's why I got so testy yesterday, is that, you know, MLB was saying, wait a minute now, you've had a week and this is all you're coming back with, these, you know, small movements. And the union comes back, say, well, you guys need to move more. So if you're not moving, we're not moving. So we'll see. I mean, now, pitchers and catchers, the first report was the 15th and first workout's the 16th. I don't see how that's going to possible. I mean, I would think you need to sit down for at least a week, day after day, to get something done. So I think now the best hope is, okay, all the players and pitchers and catchers are in camp by March 1st.
Right. That's the date I thought you were going to say. All right. So is this a case, Bob? Sometimes it's an issue that holds it up. Okay. Based on the negotiation, they can't get past it. Is this one where it's multiple issues, where it just doesn't seem like there's common ground anywhere?
Well, it's multiple issues, but the funny thing, Steve, is they do have some common ground. I mean, the players, you know, the union says, okay, we want to put some measures in there to avoid tanking. So how about draft lottery for 8 picks? And baseball says, yeah, we agree. We think there should be a draft lottery for 3 picks. So, you know, at least, you know, they're talking. The luxury tax. Okay, you know, baseball says, okay, we'll go from 210 to 214 because the owner has, lost money over the years with the COVID. And baseball is saying, now, wait a minute now. You guys are selling those things for a killing when you sell the franchise. You're making money. Our salaries have gone down. So how about 245?
Right.
So, you can reach a compromise there.
Yes.
The arbitration class, the guys aren't getting paid, so they want more the minimum salary. Baseball's at 615, the union's at 775.
Yeah, you can find it.
Split the difference. Yeah. Yeah. And so those are about the main things. It's not like, steadfast, like, okay, the owners want a salary cap and they're not moving unless they have one, or, you know, the union is not saying, you know, give us free agency after 3 or 4 years. So there is common ground there. They've addressed those things. Even a bonus pool. So the players from 0 to 3, if you're not eligible for arbitration, you know, you're going to get a lot more money than you did. So they just have to, you know, they're arguing as far as how much money is the right amount.
It's interesting because, you know, you talked about a salary cap. Now, the luxury tax is sort of a cap for some teams. That's why the players want to see it go up. But I know when I talk to Pirate fans, they were saying, give us a salary cap because that means there's a salary floor and that'll force my team to spend money. But that's not even on the table, is it, Bob?
No, it was, Steve. I mean, baseball proposed that $100 million floor.
Right.
And then Ewing said, you know, like you did, like, well, if there's a floor, it means there's going to be a cap. The cap will come, and we don't want a cap.
Yeah.
The trouble is, a luxury tax is almost like a cap. There were like five teams.
Agreed.
That were just within five teams of 210. The only team that exploded right past it were the Dodgers. Cost them $35 million in penalties. This year, it looks like, you know, the Mets are going to explode right past it. So, I'm still not sure how many teams will blow past it because you don't want to just, you know, throw away $35 million on, you know, if you don't have to. So we'll see. But I think 214 is, you know, too low, and 245. Yeah, maybe you get to 245, but not jumping $35 million right off the top. But they can split the difference.
Sure, they can. They can split the. I mean, in fact, In fact, I'm sitting there saying, you know what? Let's go 245. That way you get what you want. And let's take the minimum salary. Let's go to 700. It's not as much as you want, but it's more than we propose. There's things you can do like that where you feel like everybody's winning a little bit.
Yeah. And the union argues that the, baseball with the new tax, there would be double the penalties from before. So they can, baseball can come back and say, okay, we'll use the same penalties before. We're not going to double them.
What? How do you view the Oakland and Tampa Bay ballpark situations right now?
Well, I mean, Tampa's, back at square one. I thought the Montreal thing was a complete joke. Like, are you serious? Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I was actually at the Outback Bowl to broadcast the game when it came out that they weren't going to go to the Montreal thing was out.
Yeah, no one thought that was going to work outside the owners in Tampa.
Nobody
did. Yeah, like if you want to split the things, like why in the world would you build a brand new ballpark in Tampa and a brand new ballpark in Montreal and split the season? Just get there yourself. So yeah, I still think Tampa. I still think it will work if they move it to the Tampa side.
Agreed.
The traffic's so bad, go over that bridge. Yeah.
Well, not only that, one of the bridges went out just before I got there was hit. And they were putting construction on that bridge to get over to St. Petersburg. I mean, again, to let you know how out of touch they were going to put up that ad on the wall in the playoffs.
Oh man, I remember that. Yep.
It's like, okay. Excuse me, are you in touch with your fan base here?
Right. Yeah, let's just rub our fan base. It was almost like telling the fans, get the last look at us in the playoffs because we'll be having a playoff game in Montreal.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Get a grip. Hey, who did you, if you don't mind revealing it, who did you vote for the Hall of Fame?
So I vote for guys who weren't suspended for steroid use. So I vote for, Bonds, Clemens, Sammy Sosa, Gary Sheffield, and then I did vote for Schilling, Ortiz, of course. What am I missing? Jeff Kent and Billy Wagner. So eight guys.
Okay.
And I did not vote for Alex Rodriguez or Manny Ramirez. And my thing is, before 2004, it was the Wild Wild West. There was no drug testing. So my thing is, hey, if you're on a 200-mile stretch of highway, there's not going to be any police cars around or radar guns. You're not going 55. You're going as fast as you want. And that's what the baseball players are doing. Hey, if you're not going to test us, we'll keep doing this stuff. But once testing went in place, everybody knew what the repercussions were. And for guys like that, Manny and A-Rod, Manny got caught three times. A-Rod, the longest drug suspension in history. I mean, they crushed their teams. You can argue all Bonds and Clemens did was help their teams when, Aaron and Manny, ruined their team seasons. I'll be the same way with, a Nelson Cruz when he goes on the ballot or Robinson Cano.
Uh-huh.
Same thing.
And that's a standard I understand. You're going by what quote, the facts are, not what the guessing is.
Yeah, I mean, it bothers me, too, because I bet in the last 10 years, Steve, I bet we voted in six or seven guys that were, big-time steroid guys. So it's like, come on, these guys are in. It's almost like if Bonds hadn't broken Hank Aaron's record, I think he'd be in. If Roger Clemens wasn't winning Cy Young Awards in his 40s, I think he'd be in. I think those guys were almost like too great. Like, okay, we got to stop this.
Just for the sake of just throwing it out there, you voted for eight, you could vote for 10. No Todd Helton. Any reason that you've held back on Todd Helton? And because I thought he was really good. Now, is he good enough to be in?
I thought he was just short. And my one thing, I could change my mind. My one thing is, how in the world should anybody vote for Todd Helton to the Hall of Fame when Fred McGriff's not in?
I'm with you.
Much better.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing with Bagwell. I can't believe McGriff's not in. And, if Helton's hitting, if Helton's playing all those home games at Coors Field, he's a first baseman, you should have over, whatever he has, mid 300 home runs. You should be hitting over 500 home runs. But it really bothers me. I hope when the Veterans Committee, called the Golden Era Committee, meets in December and does their vote, I really hope that, McGriff's in there. Bruce Bochy, the manager, is in there. And, it's two, you know, maybe a re-exam in Bonds and Clemens, you know, down the road. They meet again in 2 years. You know, they'll meet twice every 5 years for, you know, forever. I think those guys maybe get in one day, but I don't see them getting in now. But I go back for the induction ceremony every summer, and those Hall of Famers, I mean, they want no part of anyone with steroid suspicions in the Hall of Fame.
Right. By the way, for the uninitiated, Fred McGriff hit, I think, 493 home runs in his career.
Right. Yep, you're right, Steve. Yep. Yeah, I just did a piece on him. He had 10 seasons of 30 or more homers, 11 seasons of 90 or more ribbies. I mean, and just a class act. You know, even John Smoltz says, you know, I can't believe it. But, yeah, I thought the writers did a horrible job not recognizing, you know, just what this guy did. You know, and the base of my column was, hey, how about the guys who were hurt by steroid era? And I think McGriff was hurt by it because he didn't have these, right, you know, 50, 60 home run seasons. So, you know, the most he ever hit was 37, but just very consistent.
Right. Exactly right. But you know what? Hank Aaron never hit over 50.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right.
Never did. And guess what?
Yeah.
You end up with 755. Well, guess what? You cobble together 31, 35, 37, 34, you know, 32, 31. You're going to hit 493 of them. Right? There's a consistency there that needs to be. I'm with you all the way on that one.
Yeah. I think the funny thing is, no one really talks about it. It's just the difference in the voting between a Sammy Sosa and a David Ortiz. I mean, David Ortiz was, you know, he was just almost a bag and just an ordinary player in Minnesota for 6 years.
Yes.
Took off in Boston. Sammy Sosa, ordinary player with the Texas Rangers and the White Sox, took off with the Cubs. You know, yeah. Okay, I know the reasons, but yeah, it's just amazing how the separation of voting between those two guys.
Oh, and by the way, if anybody's wondering if, maybe it was the postseason. Fred McGriff, I think, hit 10 postseason home runs. So it wasn't
just look that up. Yeah, man. Yeah, you're right on. Yep.
All right. Bob, absolute pleasure. I always enjoy it. I just wish we were talking about games right now and races instead of talking about, you know, the issues of it. But thank you again.
Yeah, my pleasure as always. Thank you, Steve.